Amen. If it's not busyness, it's idleness. Amen. If it's not temptation, it's going to be something else. It's going to be strife in the family. It's going to be trouble on the job. Amen. There's going to be a lot of things you're going to have to go through until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. What's it say? The King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach to, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
My name is Scott Phillips. I pastor Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church. We are on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road. We're about a mile from Clinton, about 3 or 4 miles from Raymond, 3 or 4 miles from Byron, a couple of miles from Jackson. We're at the crossroads of West Hinds County. And if you are in driving distance, I invite you to come and worship with us. On Sunday mornings, prayer starts at 9:30. We have donuts and coffee. Sunday school for children and adults starts at 10 o'clock. And worship service starts at 10:45. Our midweek is Wednesdays at 7:30. Yes. And welcome to Bible study. My name is Scott Phillips, and I have been teaching this Bible study. This is the 14th week since we started this Bible study, going from Genesis to Revelations. We covered the Old Testament in 12 lessons. Last week, we started the New Testament, and we started out talking about Jesus, because the New Testament, when you boil it all down, it's all about Jesus. And so last week I talked about Jesus, and today, again, I am going to talk about Jesus. I predict I will talk about Jesus for a number of lessons over the next few weeks, because if you don't see Jesus when you read the Bible, you have missed the whole point. Yes. This morning, as I prepared for this lesson, I all over again fell in love with who Jesus is. It is not a mystery if one reads the scripture. It is a glory and a revelation to see Jesus, who Jesus is. He is the child that was born, the son that was given, the government that is upon his shoulders. This Jesus, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This same Jesus, this Jesus that was born of a woman, but his father was God. He did not have a father like I have a father. It was not just a natural union. It was a union between nature and the supernatural. The Bible says the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she was with child of the Holy Ghost. And at his birth, wise men traveled hundreds of miles to come and worship the King of the Jews. Angels heralded his birth and told lowly shepherds, maybe the lowest caste in Judaism at that time, and they were told, "To you is born this day in the city of Bethlehem a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And it is on that subject, the Lord, I am going to focus on today. Because if you and I can have an understanding of who the Lord is, that Jesus is the Lord, this is a revelation that converted a staunch Judaist, staunch Hebrews, staunch worshipers of Jehovah. Deuteronomy 6 gives to us a text that little Jewish boys and little Jewish girls are taught to memorize. They put it on in little boxes that they nail to the doors of their houses. They put these little boxes on the gates of their city. They put this scripture in little boxes that they will put on their foreheads. It is so intrinsic to the faith of the Jews that it's very important to see this in context of who Jesus is. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, the Lord declares to the Jews, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." The Lord, our God, is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This separated them from all of the other paganistic, hedonistic, pantheistic gods of that time. Abraham, his father, was a maker of idols, idols that were made to all manner of the sun, the moon, and the stars, trees and mountains, and all manner of animals. They worshipped all of creation without worshipping or having a knowledge of the Creator. But Abraham, whom this Bible that we study, it flows from Abraham into all his seed. And even us today, as we declare Jesus Christ as Lord, we become of the seed of Abraham by faith. And it was this fundamental understanding of the nature of God. There is one God. There's not two gods. There's not three gods. There are not 3,000 gods. In Hinduism, there's 333 million gods or more. But in Christianity, we follow that Abrahamic revelation. There is but one God. And Abraham and Moses and all of the prophets that followed, they declared to the Jews, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Yes. So when Jesus came on the scene and he, in their mind, blasphemed Jehovah, blasphemed the Lord, because he said that he was the Son of God, and they understood he was making himself equal to God. It was from that point, no doubt, there was the political and the religious and the structure that they were offended at him confronting. But it was the revelation, it was the thing that people declared, that Jesus was divine, that they could not accept that. John, in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, I'm going to read a few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, speaking of the Word, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And if I go down to verse 10, he was in the world, the Word, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. I want you to remember that. Believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus, believing in the name of Jesus, is the power, is the access, is the door that we become the sons of God. That's right. We're talking about Jesus today and the power of believing in the name of Jesus. So this idea, this, it's not complicated. I know religion and tradition and the philosophizing of man has muddled the picture, but the scripture is very clear. Colossians 2 and 9 says of Jesus, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." You're complete in Jesus, who is the head of all principality and all power. Jesus. When we read Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength." We love the Lord. But who is the Lord? How many lords are there? The scripture says there's one Lord. Who is the Lord? Previous to the birth of Jesus, this was the fact. No one had seen God at any time. God is not a man. God does not have 10 fingers and 10 toes. He's not some old grandfather in the heavens. God is a spirit. He's a spirit who fills time and space. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He's powerful. This creator of the heaven and the earth is not a man. He is a spirit. But there's only one of them. He made everything. Those that worship the sun, I know who made the sun. Those that worship the stars, I know who made the stars. Those that worship the mountains, I know who made the mountains. And I could go through this litany 333 million times. There is but one God. And the name of that God has been revealed to us in the name, in the person, in the individual, in the Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Speaking of just the way God works in our life, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And I pray that God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. We have three parts that make the whole of us. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Yet we are one individual. And you see me. My name is Scott Phillips. If I wasn't sitting here in front of you, you can't see my soul and you can't see my spirit, but you can see my body. But I am more than my body. Yes. There you go. Let there be light. So how many lords are there? 121 times in the New Testament, at least. 121 times Jesus is called Lord. It's very important that we grasp this. When we read in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, there is only one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. When we understand that Jesus is that one Lord in flesh, the visible of the invisible, the touchable of the untouchable, the seeable of the unseeable, the one that was manifest in the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is Lord of all. The revelation, I want you to get this, the revelation that converted the Jews as worshipers of the one Lord Jehovah into worshiping the one Lord Jesus is the understanding that Jesus is Jehovah. Yeah, yeah, there's one Lord. There's no Savior beside Him. There's no Savior in front of Him. There's only one Savior. The Lord is the Savior, and Jesus is the Lord. Acts 2.36, the birth of the church, Peter and the arrest of the apostles, when they had received the baptism of the Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Jesus Christ baptized into them, when they had received the power from on high to be witnesses, they went from being fearful and fickle to being bold and mighty in the Spirit at the baptism of the Spirit. And there were some that wondered and couldn't understand what was going on. And Peter told them, the concluding of his preaching was, he told them, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus who you have crucified, Lord and Christ." What? That man that you saw hanging on the cross, that man that you chose Barabbas over, that man who you cried, "Crucify him," that man who you crucified is both Lord and Christ. They were pricked in their heart. And that's where we hear the message of salvation to all who want to believe. But it was a revelation that Jesus was Lord and Christ. Wait a minute. There's only one Lord. So is God, is Jehovah big Lord and Jesus little Lord? No. There's still one Lord. And that one Lord is seen, declared, demonstrated in the man, in the name, in the revelation that is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord, the one Lord of Judaism, is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the revelation that persuaded the Jews to understand that the Jehovah of the Old Testament was manifested in the Jesus of the New Testament. You aren't sure about that, Paul had the same revelation. In Acts 26 and verse 15, there's a bright light. You know, he's on the road to Damascus to persecute, to imprison, to beat, and maybe even murder more Christians. On the road to Damascus, he's got letters to make war with the saints. And a bright light shines down from heaven. A loud voice speaks down from heaven. And Paul looks up into the light. He answers to the voice. And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" Here's a Jew. He is saying, "Who are you, Jehovah?" What is this? "Who are you, Jehovah?" And the Lord answers back and says, "I am Jesus." You got to imagine how that blew little Saul's mind. Saul, who was so fervent in his faith for Jehovah, was persecuting the believers in Jesus. And while he's going to persecute believers in Jesus, these believers that were declaring that Jesus was Lord, it so enraged his understanding of who Jehovah was. And he's going to make war with them. And he meets Jehovah, this bright light, this loud voice. And he looks up and says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord answers back and says, "I am Jesus." Saul immediately went from being a persecutor of the Christians, a persecutor of the believers in Jesus, to becoming one of the most powerful, effective apostles of Jesus Christ. What did it? His understanding that Jesus is Lord. And that's the thing that we all need to grasp onto. We need to hold on to. We need to get our faith deep down in our soul. Jesus Christ is Lord. Acts 11 and verse 17 says, For as much then as God gave them the gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Here is Peter. They just preached to the Gentiles. Mind-blowing thing. Prior to Acts 10, though Peter preached it in 39, the promises unto you, etc. Here, the Lord brings to pass all of those prophecies that the Lord was going to bring people from outside of the covenant into the covenant. And here they were, Acts 10. Read it. It's worth your time. That Cornelius sees an angel. The angel says, "Send for Peter. Peter will tell you what you need to do." The Lord gives Peter this revelation of the sheet, and the Lord declares, "Call that now common or unclean, what I have sanctified." So he goes, and while he's preaching, they all receive the Holy Spirit baptism, just like they did in Acts 2. The Jews that were with Peter, they were amazed. They were astonished that because on the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles also. They got the Holy Ghost just like they did in Acts 2. How did they get the Holy Ghost in Acts 2? You need to go read this for yourself because some of you may have never heard of this. The sign to the Jews that the Gentiles had been accepted by God, had received the gift of the Holy Ghost from God because they heard them do the very same thing. They heard them and they knew, hey, that's the Holy Ghost. So Peter's saying, look, if they've got the Holy Ghost, we might as well recognize this is God. And so Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. It is a revelation that transformed the Jews and converted the Gentiles. Jesus Christ is Lord. Ephesians 2 reads, starting in verse 5, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." When you have received that gift, the unspeakable gift, you have God inside of you. Well, you say, well, what does that mean? I have the Holy Spirit? Yeah, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Does that mean I have Jesus inside of you? Yes, you have Jesus inside of you. You have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You have God inside of you. Not one part of God. You've got all of God. Just like Jesus was not one part of God, In Jesus dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when you receive the baptism of the Spirit of God, you've got the Spirit of the one God. There's not three gods. There's one God. There's not three spirits. There's one Spirit. And Jesus is the visible of the invisible. And when we receive we've been baptized with the Spirit, we've received the same Spirit that Jesus was manifesting when he walked here on this earth. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not complicated. I know people have made it complicated, but it's not complicated. Philippians chapter 2, read a few verses. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the visible of the invisible. Jesus declares, Jesus displays, Jesus manifests the glory of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus Christ is Lord. 1 John chapter 12, he explains something. No man hath seen God at any time. God is a spirit. A spirit hath not flesh and bones. But Jesus did. Because Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. Jesus was the child of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was the miracle of incarnation, where the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed Mary. And so his mother was flesh on his, he had flesh from his mother's side, but he had the divine on his father's side. You know, a child is a combination of its mother and a father. He gains a chromosome from his mother. He gains a chromosome from his father. Many times children have the blood of their father in them. And I would say that's true for Jesus. Jesus, when he shed his own blood, it was God himself shedding blood. Prior to the manifestation, the incarnation of Jesus, God did not have blood. But when God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, received unto the glory, that same Jesus shed his precious blood for us that we might be saved. Hey, to me, this is one of the fundamental foundations, the cornerstone, if you will, of the foundation of our faith, is that Jesus Christ is Lord. How many lords are there? There's only one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that one Lord is declared, is manifested, is demonstrated. He is the glory of the Lord is seen in the man, Christ Jesus. 1 John, actually John chapter 1 and 18. It is 1 John. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus. Jesus is the declaration in human form of the person of God. God is manifested in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's when Jesus said to Philip, Philip said, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus says, how long have I been with you? And you ask, show us the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. For I am in the Father and the Father in me. If you don't believe me for my word's sake, believe me for my work's sake. Jesus' fundamental understanding, he came to help people know, even his disciples, that when you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. You've seen the glory. You've seen the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus, the Word, was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles Taze Russell, had to make their own Bible so they could take away that understanding. Is it the New Living? I forget the name of the translation, but Charles Taze Russell changed the Word. And in that version it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So essentially they're saying that Jesus, the Word, was a God next to the God. They're two gods. In fact, if you understand the Jehovah's Witness theology, they actually believe that Jesus is an angel, which is an error of cataclysmic proportions. Jesus is not a God. Jesus is, the Word is God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what I'm saying, teaching on the second lesson, which it sounds like an echo of last week, I know. But if there's one thing I think that we all need to fundamentally understand in our faith in Jesus Christ is Lord, and we need to make him Lord of our life. When, you know, there are some people that are persuaded to believe that if they ask Jesus into their heart and they confess him as Lord, that equals salvation. I think that I could prove to you otherwise, and I probably will teach about it as we progress. But I want to highlight the fact that seeing Jesus as Lord is fundamental to your faith. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, absolutely. I confess that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, absolutely. It needs to be more than a profession. It must be a lifestyle. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. That's not something that is accomplished in a moment. That is something that is practiced in the moments of our day. Jesus Christ is Lord. How many lords are there? Acts 4 and 12. We hear the words of the apostles preached. Neither is there salvation in any other. And none other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus is the name that brings salvation. Jesus is the name of the Son that was born, the child that was born, the Son that was given, the government that was on his shoulders, his name that should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, that's the only saving name. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. Yes, that's right. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. How about you? Yes. It is the revelation that converted Saul, that breathed out threatenings on the church, into becoming a man who preached the faith of Jesus Christ. Saul, who persecuted the church, who then was persecuted because he believed in Jesus Christ. Saul, who stood by and held the coats of Stephen as they murdered him, the first martyr in the New Testament. Saul himself, who became Paul, was a martyr for the name, the gospel, and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And the thing that converted him from being a threat to being an apostle of Jesus Christ is that revelation he had on the road to Damascus. Who are you, Lord? And the voice echoing down from heaven, I am Jesus. Who are you, Jehovah? I am Jesus. That's why Paul wrote in Colossians, I said it earlier, we'll say it again, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead was seen bodily in him. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. How many lords are there? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy body. Who is the Lord? The Lord is Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. Amen. I don't know that that what I am feeling is translating to through the lens of this camera and into the stream that you're watching tonight. But I really believe there's power in saying the name of Jesus. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name ye shall cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues." Hallelujah. Jesus told them that. In the name of Jesus. Jesus declared, it's written in Luke, that in his name that repentance and remissions of sin would be preached in his name. Matthew tells us, it gives us a clue of the majesty and the glory that is the name of Jesus. When Jesus declared in the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That's a clue. Look how they baptized everyone. Acts 2. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins." Acts 8. "They were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Acts 10. "Peter commanded the Gentiles to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Acts 19. "Paul went so far as to re-baptize those that had already been baptized." They had been baptized just like Jesus had been baptized, but they didn't understand who Jesus was. They knew Jesus was baptized. They were baptized like Jesus was baptized under John's baptism. But Paul understood the power of the name, and he absolutely insisted that those Ephesians, that he later wrote the book of Ephesus, the book of Ephesians 2, he told them, "We're saved by grace through faith." But we know how he preached that. We see the theology in Ephesians, but we see the practical application in Acts chapter 19. And he rebaptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul, when he was baptized, after his revelation that Jesus is the Lord, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus." When the Lord sent Ananias to pray for him, Ananias baptized him, and he told Paul, who Paul tells in Acts 22, he said, "Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away your sins." There is power in the name of Jesus, and specifically, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus has been promised to give us the forgiveness of sins. I know some people believe that when you repent, that's the forgiveness of sins. But if you read the Bible theological case for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, it comes from repentance and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in that repentance and in the baptism where we experience the remission. And ultimately, it is the full experience of being filled with the Spirit. Repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is a little aside that I no doubt bring out in a lot of my videos. But you'll see in Acts 8, they had repented and they had been baptized. They didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. I know a lot of people are taught that when you believe, you get the Holy Ghost, but that's not what happened in the Scripture. They believed, they had been baptized, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, Acts 8. Acts 10, you see where they had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see in Acts 19 where Paul found believers, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. He rebaptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. So it's important to understand faith is great, but no one in Scripture, based on the biblical record of the Acts of the Apostles, including Paul, including the guy that wrote the letter to the Ephesians, there is a message that you need to repent of your sins. You need to be immersed in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are promised to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Who is the Lord? Who is the King of glory? Strong and mighty. If I'm going to call on the name of the Lord, that name is Jesus. So when the apostles, including the apostle Paul, baptized everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, that explains to us Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, in the name. That doesn't say the names, but further, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is Father a name? Father a name. Is Father a name? Father is not a name. Son. Is Son a name? No, Son is not a name. Holy Ghost. Is Holy Ghost a name? Holy Ghost isn't a name. So name singular of three titles. What does that mean? We know what the meaning if we just believe our eyes when we read the scripture. Everywhere they went, they baptized everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Matthew 28:19 is not a mystery. It is a declaration of the glory of what Jesus manifested. Jesus is the manifestation of the Father. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only truth of the Father. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. And Jesus is the name that's above every name. Jesus is the name that every knee should bow and confess. Jesus is in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus is where we find faith and we find remission of sins and we find victory over devils and we find access to the baptism of the Spirit. It is in Jesus where all of the mysteries of the world are wrapped up. All the glory of God is wrapped up in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, there are not three thrones, but there is one throne and there is one that sits upon the throne. Jesus said in the book of Revelations of himself, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. I am the first and the last, which is, which was, which is to come. Jesus declares of himself. He demonstrates, he declares to John on the Isle of Patmos in the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ himself declares, I am the Alpha and Omega. There's no war between the Son and the Father. The Son declares the Father. The Son is a manifestation of the Father. The Son of God is where we see the God of heaven. There is no doubt. Jesus is the manifestation, the outflow, the outpouring, the demonstration of the God of heaven. When you see Jesus, you have seen the Father. When you say Jesus, you have declared the name of the Father. When you say Jesus, that is the name in which the Holy Spirit would come. Jesus said, the promise of the Father shall be given in my name. What is the name of Jesus? Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comes in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is wrapped up in that manifestation, in the incarnation. Jesus is the visible. Jesus is the flesh. Jesus is the sacrifice. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the cornerstone. Don't get me started. Jesus is the picture this in the Old Testament, the Old Testament sacrifice. You had three central figures. You had the lamb that was offered. The blood was shed from the lamb. You had the high priest that carried the blood. And then you had the judge of the sacrifice. And Jesus is the lamb. Jesus is the high priest. And Jesus ultimately judges the sacrifice. Because he's God. Jesus is the visible of the invisible. When you see Jesus, when you say Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, you're not just declaring faith in one of the three, you're declaring faith in all of God. Because there's only one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to wrap it up. Great is the mystery of godliness. But it doesn't stop there. It explains to us the mystery. God was manifested in the flesh. And that name is Jesus. And I encourage you today, no matter where you are in your journey of faith, Align yourself, declare yourself, dedicate yourself, humble yourself, seek and put yourself in position of searching and loving and obeying the Word of God. Because it will be in that, it will be in that, that you will experience the glory of God in your life. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Wherever you are in your journey of faith, and you find that you are lacking an overflow of the Spirit in your life, I would say go back to the beginning and declare and dedicate and tie yourself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many lords are there? There's one Lord. And what's the name of that one Lord? Jesus. We should pray in his name. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, we should do in his name. When you get baptized, you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that happens in a distinct and separate experience from repentance, from faith, from baptism. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will understand things that you could never understand before until the Spirit of truth has come and baptized you. Amen. Whew, wow. So, this video shows on Monday night, but I've been doing them on Sunday mornings just because I have such busy days these days. My name is Scott Phillips. I pastor Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church. We are on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road. We're about a mile from Clinton, about 3 or 4 miles from Raymond, 3 or 4 miles from Byram, a couple of miles from Jackson. We're at the crossroads of West Hinds County. And if you are in driving distance, I invite you to come and worship with us. On Sunday mornings, prayer starts at 9:30. We have donuts and coffee. Sunday school for children and adults starts at 10 o'clock. And worship service starts at 10:45. Our midweek is Wednesdays at 7:30. Yes. God bless you and have a great week. Encourage you, if this has blessed you, share it, clip it, send it, email it. Help us get the word out. And we pray that God would bless you greatly. God bless you.
And the zenith of understanding and revelation about Jehovah was when the angels declared to the shepherds, amen, and the angels declared to Joseph, and the angels declared to Elizabeth, and the angels declared to Mary that there was going to be born a child, amen, and not just a child, amen, with an earthly mother and an earthly father, but there was going to be a child born, and he would be a human flesh on his mother's side, but he would be divine God on his father's side. Come on, somebody. Amen. God with us. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things you got to face until the appearing. Amen. If it's not money, it's poverty. Amen. If it's not busyness, it's idleness. Amen. If it's not temptation, it's going to be something else. It's going to be strife in the family. It's going to be trouble on the job. Amen. There's going to be a lot of things you're going to have to go through until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. What's it say? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach to, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor.